Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another trip report. It's the best way to kick off your week. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Leslie Ann to talk about a great Disney trip. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Planning a trip to the happiest place on earth? Share your love for your favorite mouse with the Running Buddy's new Disney Luxe Travel Collection. They offer a variety of products like Mickey and Minnie Mouse backpacks, purses, magnetic hands-free buddy pouches, and more. You even get a free Disney pin with each purchase. Also, as a special gift to the Be Our Guest podcast listeners, use the code BEOURGUEST for 10% off at checkout. Check them out today over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Again, we appreciate it each and every time you use our Amazon affiliate link when you do your shopping online. It really does help us support the show, and it's very simple for you. You'll get all your Prime benefits. It'll cost you nothing extra. Just the next time you get ready to do some online shopping, bookmark this site on all your devices and use it every time. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1463 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope this last Monday of March finds you well. Yes, baseball is starting for real here this week. I cannot wait. That means it's an unofficial holiday here in St. Louis. It's what we look forward to all year. Maybe the cold weather's behind us. I don't know for sure in the Midwest, but we'll have to see. But we're heading out to the West Coast today. So I know that our guest today doesn't have to deal with all the stuff we've dealt with, the below zero temperatures well into March this year. Leslie Ann's joining us from out in California. Leslie Ann, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
Glad to have you on the show. I'm doing wonderful. And so you are a resident of California, and not that I'm jealous, but you kind of live close to Disneyland?
Yeah, we do. I am a Southern California native, so we've gone to Disneyland, you know, at least a couple times a year, every year that I can remember, and pass holders for a long time. So yeah, we're about maybe 35, 40 minutes away.
So one of the things I've been asking the guests on the Monday shows over the past couple of months is kind of the backstory, because I love, you know, meeting new friends of the podcast and hearing, you know, why you found a Disney podcast, why you're so fanatical about the Disney product. You being a Disneyland local, what's that like growing up in the shadows of a Disney park? Because, you know, very few of us get that experience. You know, maybe we live close to a Six Flags or a Silver Dollar City, but, you know, Disneyland's kind of the ultimate place to grow up.
Yeah. And, you know, it's strange now. I think about 10 years ago when they started financing the annual passes, everyone has one. So it's just very common to just, hey, let's meet after school. Everyone has an annual pass. Because when they first started financing, I think it was around $5 a month. Yeah. So how can you not?
No kidding. It's like a Starbucks a month and you're going to Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
So yeah, we all love it.
I'd imagine that you kind of grew up with, benchmark points in your life, spending them there at Disneyland. So, like, what's a couple memories that you have that were very special to you at Disneyland Park?
Oh, I got a couple. My mom took me out of school, my brother and I, and we were there for opening day of Indiana Jones. We waited in line about 3.5 hours, which compared to Flight of Passage is not bad, you know, in hindsight. But we have cards from opening day. We made friends in that line. And I get to say, yeah, I was there opening day for Indy. I met two different prom dates at Disneyland because we would go to Carnation Plaza and do swing dancing when that was in. And ended up having, you know, prom dinners and then going to prom after, we'd eat at Disney and then we'd go to prom.
Man, we went to Casa Gallardo here in St. Louis, which is just a little local Mexican restaurant. Then we went to prom. You went to Disneyland. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it sounds like those videos from like the 50s and 60s, you know, date night at Disneyland.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, it really is a locals park. I wonder how that's going to change. But it's a lot of locals, and we're very proud of the park. We love the park, you know, really defend it.
I love that, though, because that's what makes it special. You know, when you have ownership in it, you know, going there, it is something that you just you want to protect. And I think all of us as Disney fans want to do that. But when you are, you know, and that's your community, that's your home, that's your identity, that just that has to be something that you just defend to the very end. I love hearing that.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I get a lot of people, they know I love Disney World as well. And so people will come back and they always say the exact same thing. They'll say, man, we loved Epcot. We loved Animal Kingdom. But our Magic Kingdom is still better.
That's good, though. Respect. I like that so much. Now, one last thing, and then we'll hop into your trip that you took this time last year down to Walt Disney World. It's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, Galaxy's Edge is obviously coming to both coasts, first to Disneyland here very shortly. I mean, it is, you know, it's spring now. So, you know, we'll be walking into Black Spire Outpost here before you know it. But what are your feelings? Because that's such a major shift and a major change for Disneyland Park. As somebody who grew up there with the traditions of Disneyland, how do you feel with this?
You know, we are a Star Wars super family. My husband is in the 501st Legion, and we have a real droid. Like, we have a fully working droid. So we are very excited as Star Wars fans. But I got to admit, I'm terrified about the traffic because it's already very busy. Our parking lots are at capacity now. I'm really scared of what the traffic is going to do. As excited as I am, I think that, you know, from summer, whenever it opens officially, to the end of the year, I think it's going to be really scary. And I hope they find a way to handle the crowds.
Yeah, notice in your avatar as we're recording right now, as I look up there, I see that it's you and your husband in between. And there's a stormtrooper in between you. It looks like, did the stormtrooper, was he the Justice of the Peace? Or what? It looks like your wedding picture.
It's our wedding day. I had a stormtrooper on my side with the bridesmaids.
Nicely done. I think you're going to be with your people out there. So very good. And I love Star Wars too. My wife would have killed me if I'd had a stormtrooper roll down, even though I would have loved it. So I wanted to make sure we actually got married because I kind of married out of my league. So I just didn't want to rock the boat. Anyway, we're going to talk about your Walt Disney World trip this time last year. So give us when you went down and who you traveled with and all that stuff. And we'll dive into some of the details of the trip.
Okay, great. Like you mentioned, it was about a year ago. And it was motivated because my beloved Virgin America Airlines was going away. It was purchased by Alaska. And I had a lot of points to use. And using those points, I had to use them by March 31st. And so I talked my husband into it because he loves a deal. So I said, honey, we can fly to Orlando for $5 each.
Oh,
just those fees.
Me. Oh, my gosh. You're killing us.
No, can't beat that. Right. So he said, OK. And then I pitched him. I said, could I invite Madison, who is my now 11-year-old niece? She was 10. Madison's the coolest kid ever, and she really wanted to go to Disney World. And it really, you know, having the airfare basically covered and, you know, room in the hotel room, it was really just the price of a ticket was the biggest expense adding her on. So, so my group was myself, my husband, my daughter Amelia, and my niece Madison. So they were 13 and 10 at the time.
So how did you get the kids just pumped up for this Walt Disney World trip? Because I know that, you know, as much as Mallory's got to go to Walt Disney World, you know, we're getting ready to go for her cheerleading here in about 45 days now. You know, she's still, that's all she talks about. She's been watching YouTube videos, and especially with the two girls going together. What was that like? I mean, the pre-trip, because I think that's some of the most fun times.
You know, I totally agree with you. My daughter was really excited because she's an only child. And so to be able to talk to her cousin and tell her, oh my God, you're going to love this ride so much. You're going to love this ride. You know, she loved being kind of the big sister role. And then Madison, she loves research, like YouTube videos and stuff like that. And, you know, because she was 10, she was just coming into that age where she was getting on the scarier rides. Mm-hmm. And so I told her, I said, you know, why don't you do some research, watch some videos and figure out what you want to do? Because I didn't want to take her on, you know, say Rock and Roller Coaster and have her freak out.
but you do it once and you get a great picture.
yeah, you're right. I think her Seven Dwarves Mine Train picture is epic. I have it framed, actually.
I did that to Mallory, but she went back on and later, now it's her favorite ride. But yeah, that first picture, I mean, it was just classic. I was like, that is so worth it. I'd have paid $100 for that. Yeah, it's awesome, though. I like, though, that when, because I remember the first, because Paige, you know, my older daughter was an only child forever till we had Mallory when she was 11. And we took her best friend with us one year back when they were seven. They were both seven. And it was just so fun because Paige had been a few times before by herself. But when she had somebody that was her peer to, you know, bounce ideas off of before we went, and then during the trip, you know, just seeing them make these memories together, they're still friends. You know, I think that's something special they'll, you know, they'll talk about for years and years to come.
Yeah, I agree. It's only made their relationship better. And I look back on it very fondly as well, watching them ride things together and entertain each other in line. And I mean, it's just priceless.
So you guys, when you went down this time, you'd stayed previously at Art of Animation Pop Century. This time you took the jump and stayed over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So talk to us about your experience over there, because I just love this place. It's really an experience in itself.
Yeah. When, you know, years ago, when the very first time I went to the Disney World website, I was blown away. I think Animal Kingdom was at the top alphabetically, and my jaw just dropped. And I went, oh my gosh, there's animals there. Like, you can see it from your room. And so we decided that's where we wanted to stay. You know, last two times we couldn't afford it. We went to Value, and I love the Value resorts, but, you know, we sprung for Animal Kingdom, but we paid for a standard room. And when we got there, we were upgraded to a Savannah View room, which was a nice surprise, because I had told the girls, you're going to have to see the animals in the public spaces. But we were upgraded, which was a nice surprise. We really enjoyed it. I mean, that lobby, your jaw just drops.
Yes.
You could stay in the lobby for 2 hours just looking around.
When you pull up to the hotel, you know, this is just my personal opinion, but it kind of seems like it's, I like the way it looks, like kind of the thatched roof, and it looks very, you know, it looks authentic, like something you may find out in Africa. You know, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, in the middle of the United States. I don't know, I've never been to Africa, but I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look as massive and grandiose as when you enter the lobby. You know, it seems like, wow, it looks small when I was outside in the parking lot. But then when I get in there, this place is awesome. It's got unique smells. It's got really cool sounds, because sometimes there's, you know, cast members playing some kind of percussion instrument somewhere in the lobby with other kids. And it's just, the beauty of it is amazing. So I think it is. It's a very multi-sensory experience when you walk in.
Yeah, I totally agree. You can't gauge how big it is from the outside. You walk in and go, whoa. And those bridges, you know, I mean, it was just amazing. And it got the wow factor from the kids and my husband when we walked in. So really happy with the resort as a whole.
And so you didn't travel with the droid, right? The droid stayed home?
No, he'd have to be put in the cargo area, and he's a member of the family, so we don't want to do that.
You know what? On your next trip, everybody's going to have a droid, so just bring it, you know, and,
roll around with you. We're taking him to D23 in August, so that's about as close to the parks as he gets.
I love this. All right, so did you find the room to be sufficient? Because when you bring an extra person, sometimes it's like, wow, this is a little bit small. But, I mean, the rooms at Animal Kingdom Lodge, they're not huge, but I think they're very... we've had a family of four in there many times, no problem. And we have all girls and men.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't huge, but I mean, I think that if the girls had both been teenagers, we would have had a problem. But because they're kind of in the tween age, we were able to make it work.
Yeah. Welcome to my life. A wife and a daughter that's 23 or 22 and a 11-year-old who thinks she's 23. I'm done. Yeah. Especially when we go on cruises. All right. So walk us through some of the highlights of this trip. Looking back, you know, you guys were down there in the springtime, this time last year. This is one of the times that you had visited that it was kind of busy compared to the other times that you had traveled. So did you find that a challenge, you know, using FastPass to your advantage? How did you manage the crowds and with it being a busier time of the year?
Yeah. This trip, we really had a good time, but I did have to really plan. And so what I did was I talked to the family and I said, okay, look, I don't want to overschedule. You know, I don't want to do a play-by-play touring plan. That's not fun. They don't like drill Sergeant Leslie, right? So I said, this is the plan. Give me 2 hours in the morning where I'm telling you, now we go here, now we go here, now we go here. And then after that, we can be, you know, more loose. And so I wanted to give you our first day is a great example of that. Our first day in the parks was Easter Sunday, and I haven't been, I've done Disneyland at Easter, but of course never Disney World. And so we woke up, we had a pre-park breakfast at a Garden Grill, And that was really fun. You know, we had waffles and bacon and eggs and all that. And we were done by 8:45 and the park opened at 9. So we just went and stood in line for Soarin', which to us, we hadn't been on Soarin' around the world yet. We were the second family in line. And so we were able to ride the first ride of the day in the top center seats.
Yes.
And I gotta tell you, I welled up. Like, it was just the perfect start, you know, for a Disney fan who knows, like, we're not going to get that tilted Eiffel Tower because we're in the middle.
Yes, everybody listening to the shows understands what you're saying. The folks
exactly,
that don't,
exactly.
Some people don't. So, hey, you'll get it someday.
Yeah, I'm like, we're in the center. And I'm trying not to cry and embarrass myself.
The
daughter.
Taj Mahal is centered. Thank goodness.
Yes, and it was nice. And, you know, I'll always love the old one, but it was good. It was the first time on a new experience to me is always just, it's always precious. And so I really enjoyed that as our first ride. And then we kind of just barreled through everything we could in that area. You know, we knocked out Figment. We went on Nemo. Flower and Garden was going on. So we went to the Butterfly House, which was beautiful. And then we went and did a Club Cool. And then we had a fast pass for Spaceship Earth. So we did that. And then we walked over to Test Track, and that was our first fast pass. Our second fast pass of the day was Test Track. And it was, Madison was a little nervous because that ride, you know, it's pretty fast, but she really enjoyed it. And I mean, the morning was just perfect as far as I was concerned, because we got so much done and started off with a good note. And we did the egg hunt, which I wasn't sure if it was going to be awful or awesome, but it was like $6, give or take. And you get a map with the stickers and you just go around the World Showcase and egg hunt. And some of them were really easy and some of them weren't. Like one of them, we actually needed to ask for help. But it was a really fun experience. And for the price, I mean, it was, I would have paid double that for how much fun we had exploring, looking for those eggs.
And
at the end, they got a little souvenir, which was nice.
Don't say that. Disney's listening.
I know. As soon as it went up to
15 bucks. Just kidding. No.
Yeah, but it was worth it. I would really recommend it. Yeah. I mean, it really made the day feel long, like in a good way, because we went to every single country. We were done by 3. And so we went and took a midday break. We swam a little at the pool, which was great. It's beautiful, little water slide, you know. And then at the end of the day, I said, hey, are you guys up to go to Animal Kingdom? Because I wanted to see Pandora at night. And we had no agenda. Like, I didn't plan on getting on any rides. I just wanted to see it at night, because I'd heard, you know, how different it was between the day and the night. And so we got over to the park around 7, had dinner. No one was in the dinosaur area. So we kind of just, we rode Dinosaur 3 times in a row. We rode Primeval World like 4 times in a row. And then we walked over to Pandora, and it was so beautiful. You know, I mean, the first time, again, it's just, all the little weird plants and stuff. Both the girls were taking tons of pictures because it was, you know, we don't have that here. And then we walked over to, what is the slow one? There's Flight of Passage and
the Navi River Journey.
The Navi River. Navi River, it said 30 minutes. And I knew that that was a fair wait. It was no minutes. We walked right down and got on the boat.
Nice. And I like that ride. I mean, it's kind of a different take on It's a Small World, kind of an ecological tale, but I just, it's visually stunning. It is. And in that song, it's stuck in your head. At least it does for me. What that shaman's singing.
That
like
shaman
I'm singing that the rest of the day. I'm like, get out of my head. Quit messing with me. So yeah, it has that in common with Small World too. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's not this riveting ride, but it was beautiful. And I mean, I could have easily ridden it, you know, 2 or 3 times just to look around, because it's really beautiful.
It is. Now, let me ask you this, because you have a different perspective on things. And I 100% agree with you that if you can be there at rope drop and you're ahead of the crowds initially in those first couple hours, if you're efficient in what you're doing, by a couple hours into the day, you are so far ahead of everybody else. And then by the time your fast passes kick in, you can get so much done by lunchtime or by early afternoon. And what that does, it kind of gives you like that bonus time to go back to swim at your hotel or to hop to another park or to go to Disney Springs. You know, it buys you time later. But you guys were from the West Coast. So was this, especially with the kids, is this a challenge for you guys being up that early? Because that's really early for you.
You know, I think we just managed ourselves really well, because the first night we got in and we all just showered and then went to bed because we knew that we were going to get up early. I didn't notice it on this trip. But I think that, again, we knew we were going to get up early. So we went to bed early.
You're so lucky. When I try to wake my girls up, even though we're one time zone behind in the central time zone, it's like, oh, come on, yeah. Get out of bed. We're at Disney World. I want to go do stuff. Like, I hate that when you're the one that's like rare, because I'm a morning person. Like, I'm up every morning before 5, you know, I'm going, like, and it's dragging them out of bed at 9 o'clock, you know, on weekends. It's like, oh, you're wasting the day. And Disney just kills me. So, yeah, it's good that they got up.
Good stuff.
So some of the other stuff that you guys did, you guys took advantage of park hopping this time. You said you didn't do that at your other trips. Did you find that to be something that moving forward is a necessity, or was it just a luxury? How would you describe that?
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. I think that if someone was going for the first time, I would tell them they don't need it. We definitely got by and had a great time without the park hoppers. But what I noticed about having the park hoppers was I really did like the spontaneity. Like, there was one night where we'd spent the day in Animal Kingdom and it closed early, like kind of early, like 8 or 9. And so we hopped over to Hollywood Studios and rode Toy Story because we hadn't ridden that yet. And then that closed at 10. And then we park hopped to Magic Kingdom and stayed there till midnight, just hitting up things we wanted to do one more time. And it was really nice to have that flexibility. And you know how it is with your kids when they just look at you and say, can we go back to Magic Kingdom and do, you know, I don't know, Big Thunder?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We can.
I agree.
That's the stuff when we were talking about, you know, the last two trips, that's the stuff we end up remembering is, you know, remember that time we rode Primeval World 4 times in a row? And, you know, Primeval World is not an attraction that people, you know, write home to mom about. They don't share that on Facebook because it's such a cookie cutter ride. But we had such a great time because there was no line and we did have the freedom to just go over and over.
I couldn't agree more, though, because like you say, you know, when I look back with Paige, the one thing we talk about a lot of stuff, but one of the things that comes back over and over again is, this was a long time ago, but when they used to have the evening extra magic hours and they were 3 hours long. Okay. So they were, you know, 3 hours after the park closed. The park stayed open one night till 3 in the morning because it closed at midnight. She was only like 9. I don't know what we were thinking, but we stayed till 3 in the morning. And we got a picture of her with Goofy. Goofy was somewhere in the hub. I remember that it was like, he was by like a popcorn stand or something. I mean, it was after 2 a.m. We got her one of those big like pixie sticks, you know, the clear tube with like the different colors of sugar, just because we're trying to keep her going. Just eat sugar. You know, we're such great parents. Both of us school teachers.
We all do it.
So, but I mean, we have a picture of her with Goofy with this big, long, you know, 18 inches of sugar, different colors, and like 2:45 in the morning with Goofy. I mean, but she still talks about it. She goes, remember that time we were running around and Goofy was just kind of standing in the hub? I'm like, yeah, that was. But I mean, exactly. You don't usually see people talking about, oh, I met Goofy. You know, it's more like, oh, I went to Pandora, or, you know, that ride on Expedition Everest was awesome, or we had this great meal at Chef Mickey's. But I mean, that's the stuff that. There's just a magical thing about late night in the parks. You can really make a lot of memories because it's almost like bonus time.
Yeah, totally agree.
I love that.
That's the good stuff right there.
So you guys, speaking of nighttime, you guys did some dessert parties, it looks like, too. So how'd you find those to work out for you?
Oh, yeah, we really, again, I was prioritizing with the things that we don't have here at Disneyland. And the Happily Ever After fireworks show, I was really excited to see it, even though I love Wishes. Mm-hmm. I'd heard some good things about the projections and some of the pictures I'd seen, because I tried not to watch any videos, but I'd seen some pictures and they looked impressive. I really did enjoy it. The dessert parties were great. It was pouring rain just before the fireworks, so it was nice to be undercover, because they do that at Tomorrowland Terrace. So, you know, we were covered. We were able to get off our feet, use the restroom one more time, and then go out to a reserved area, and It was really great. It was really, really great.
Nice.
Star Wars was amazing. And not just because we were Star Wars fans. Like, I think that even non-Star Wars fans would love this because the food was amazing. I mean, they had like all these different types of hummus. They serve liquor. So if you wanted to get a margarita or, you know, they had a really nice bartender who would make anything you want. The character meet and greets, we got to meet Kylo Ren. And I have one of my favorite pictures of the whole trip. You know, Kylo Ren's pretty scary, even though, like, I'm not, I just think that behind that mask, he's very intimidating. So he
yes,
was
he is.
Harassing my husband, who had a droid shirt on, and basically calling him a traitor because he had an R2-D2 on his shirt. And there's this picture of me wincing and my niece just smiling with the biggest joyful face you can imagine. It was very much worth it. And we got a little Stein as a souvenir, and we got to sit on, you know, we had reserved seating, so great view of the hologram, the projections. It was really good.
That's good to hear, because, you know, that's one of the questions we get the most, and I get as, you know, a travel agent at the Magic for Less, for my guests, is, you know, is the dessert party worth it? And that's such a hard question for me to answer for anybody, because it's about how you value your time. Are you going to enjoy the offerings as far as the desserts and the, you know, like you said, the drinks over at the Star Wars package, the opportunity for a meet and greet that might save you 30 minutes earlier in the day that you don't have to stand in line to meet Kylo Ren. You know, it's all in your goals of the trip, and it's that overall kind of, I mean, because I've done the Happily Ever After fireworks party. I did the Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam fireworks party. And every time I've done it, you just get this VIP type feeling. And, you know, it's hard to put a monetary value on that.
I agree. I think that for us specifically, I know that my group, my family, if we can take just a 20 to 30 minute break, it totally recharges our batteries. And so I try to look for opportunities when I'm planning trips where we can get that 30 minutes just to, you know, not be in line, not be walking behind the strollers, you know, the stuff that drives you crazy.
Yes. Oh, man.
If you can just get out of the crowd for, you know, a half hour even, it really does wonders for everyone's attitude.
Yeah, I think that Disney should require like a 30-minute mental reset for every guest every day at the parks.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a lot less stressful. You know, it's a place that'll wear you out mentally and physically. I mean, people don't realize, like, how mentally draining it is to be in a theme park for 8 hours, because you're constantly like bombarded with just people around you and smells and sounds and background loops. And I mean, it's as fun as it is, I'm not saying it's not fun, but I mean, it's just so atypical of what we're, you know, experiencing in everyday life.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's, I mean, again, my daughter loves theme parks, but when I drag her to Disneyland, she's like, "Mom, I need to stop. I just need a minute." And I'm like, "Okay, let's get a churro. Let's sit down." Cause I'm like, I'm there before opening. I'll close it down. I'll have the janitor sweeping me out. Like, I'm a theme park girl. So I need to give breaks to my family. They do their very best, but occasionally we need to give them some breaks.
When I have a rough day, I say I'm theme park tired, and everybody listening to the show knows exactly what that means. It's a good one. So now, another thing you guys did on this trip that you can't do out at Disneyland is you guys went to Typhoon Lagoon, which is my favorite of the two water parks. Love. I think this one's more laid back. And we don't talk about this a whole lot on the show here. And, you know, with it being spring and we're going to have the long summer season, this is especially if you have the Park Hopper option on your ticket, you can add the what's called the Park Hopper Plus, and for a very low cost. It's usually like 10 or 20 bucks for the entire length of the ticket. If you have a 6-day ticket, you can get like 6 trips to the water parks. I mean, it's like super inexpensive. So what did you think about the water parks?
Oh, yeah, it was our first time there. We really love Typhoon Lagoon. Just the whole theme of it, you know, having that ship up on the mountain was such a cool photo op. We loved the wave pool. I did something stupid and I said, "Hey, let's sit." You know, they have that fake beach at the at the start of the wave pool. I said, "Let's sit down and let the wave hit us," which was the dumbest idea I've ever had, because we got like this rash from being dragged against the bottom of the pool.
Yeah, because you're kind of like in a court. You know what? That beach is for people from Missouri that never get to a real beach. That's like, we think that's the beach because we're that close to, you know, we're 1,000 miles from any ocean. But, you know, yeah, I know what you get, because it's kind of like the accordion effect. Like you're like pushed back when the waves hit, and then you're like sucked in when they, it's like the tides, but it's like every 90 seconds.
Yeah, it was. I love the wave pool, but don't sit. Like, if anyone's listening, don't sit. just swim. Let it push you around a little bit, but don't sit down on that fake beach. Because, you know, in California, at the real beach, we'll do that. We'll sit on the sand, and it didn't hurt nearly as bad, you know, at the real beach. compared to what I did at Typhoon Lagoon.
You're the expert. Good, good. Now, how did you handle the wave pool there? Because I want to ask you this, because it is something to think about when you take kids, because no joke, I mean, that wave pool's a ton of fun. Don't get me wrong. But RIP to like two pair of sunglasses that I've lost in that thing because that big old wave smacked me. And you really do. I remember when Paige was little, we went there a few times, and you got to hang on to your kids when those waves hit, because, I mean, they might end up 20 yards from you, and you're just like, you scramble as a parent trying to find your kid.
Yeah, those waves are no joke. I read on you know, someone else's, like a travel blog somewhere, and they said, you know, respect the wave pool. And I went, okay, I will. So when we went, we were in pretty deep when the wave started, so it didn't smack us. But, yeah, those waves are serious. So just go in, have fun. But, yeah, I think I'd be weary if I'd had smaller kids. But because mine are tall enough to keep their head above the waves, they did okay. But yeah, like you said, don't bring the sunglasses in. Hold on to that locker key or leave it with someone on the shore.
It is. I mean, it's, and if you've never been there in the wave pool, I mean, those waves do come at you. I mean, they blow a horn first, so you get a little, you know, advance notice that the typhoon is coming. And it's so funny because, I mean, I haven't been there for years, but I just remember, you know, with Paige and her friend Molly, she went with us, and we were out there, and every time the horn would blow, everybody in the pool would be like, and like scrambling. It happens every 2 minutes, you know it's coming. But it was just like, and the whole time, like before the horn would blow, everybody's kind of like just anticipating it happening. Everybody's nervous, the horn blows, people scramble, and it happens like every 3-4 minutes. That's what made it fun. I mean, we stayed in there, we enjoyed all the slides, we did they have a great lazy river, you know, we enjoyed everything the park had to offer. But that, you know, I think the Typhoon Lagoon is known for that wave pool.
Yeah, we had a great time overall. Like, I mean, every slide we rode pretty much everything. We enjoyed all the slides. We went on Misadventure Falls a few times as a group because the whole family was able to go at once. You know, you can't beat a lazy river. It was great just traveling by lazy river to get to different parts of the park. So I would highly recommend it.
So you guys were there also on Easter Sunday. So how was that? I haven't been to Walt Disney World on many major holidays, you know, kind of around them celebrating the season, but usually not there for the actual day. So did you find that it was something that was unique, or did it just kind of, you know, Walt Disney World's 365, 24/7? I mean, what'd you think of that?
I did find it to be a little unique because, as I mentioned, I'd done Disneyland on Easter, and it was crazy. I mean, everyone was there just, you know, celebrating Easter at the park. And so I was kind of braced for the worst possible, you know, the most awful crowds ever. But Epcot, it was busy, but it was fine. I mean, it was easy enough to walk. The lines were average. I mean, you know, nothing was over an hour. It was great. And then later on, when we hopped to Animal Kingdom, no one was there. It was a ghost town. And I just mentioned it to one cast member because we were at, I think it's like Bronto Burger or Restaurantosaurus, whatever that hamburger place is in Dinoland. Mm-hmm. And there was no lines, like not a person in there at 7 o'clock. And so I walked up to a cast member and I said, you know, I thought it was going to be busy. And she says, I think everyone goes to Magic Kingdom on Easter.
Yeah, so I can see that, but I don't know why. Like, well, I don't see why Easter and Magic Kingdom have to do with each other, but I would be drawn to the Magic Kingdom for two. It's weird. I don't know. That's something I don't get the connection, but I'd do it.
I have a theory that because of the, you know, the genius marketing of like, I just won the Super Bowl, I'm going to Disneyland, I'm going to Disney World. I think that when people think of celebrating the holidays, they imagine that castle. That's mm-hmm. where they want to be.
And sometimes they have the Easter Bunny there too. On Easter.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. We didn't see the Easter Bunny, but I heard that he was around.
He's hops from here and there. All right, so it sounds like you guys had a really good trip, and you had experience with, you know, obviously, you know, all the theme park stuff, you know, how to get that stuff done. And Walt Disney World's obviously a great, you know, a lot larger, and it's got a lot more to offer. But as we close this out, a few questions I want to ask you. So you took your niece for the first time. Was there any lessons learned in taking somebody that's not in your immediate family? Because like I said, we took Molly. There was a lot of considerations there, but that was one of the best trips we ever had. So somebody, I'm sure, is considering doing this, or they have it on the books for here in 2019 at some point. What would you tell them as far as taking somebody extra on a trip to Walt Disney World?
Well, what we did, that's, you know, we were a little nervous because as much as I'm very close to my niece, like I was there when she was born, I lived with her for the first couple of years of her life, but you know, she's not my child. And so we had meals and we would talk. You know, I talked to my sister and I talked to Madison about what the expectations were. Just things like, when we go to bed, it's not because I'm trying to be bossy, it's because we have a long day tomorrow. And let's get on that page now so that the expectation is set. And when we get to the parks or to the resorts, we're all on the same page. And same thing with the rides. I told her, I would love for you to push yourself a little outside your comfort zone, but I will not force you. So, you know, do your research and, you know, try to have fun and go a little outside your comfort zone. Like, she was really nervous to go on Test Track. She didn't know if she was going to ride Expedition Everest until we got in front of that mountain. But she did it. And I think part of that is because we had that talk before, that she knew I wasn't going to make her, and also that I wouldn't trick her or make her do anything that she, you know, I wouldn't make her do anything that I think she wouldn't enjoy. And the only ride she skipped was Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. And I think that's a respectable choice.
That is. Yeah. I can do that one once and then it gets me. I can't go anymore. You know, that's such sound advice, because that's, you know, again, I come from an education background, teaching for 17 years, is that when you have clear expectations up front, it sets everybody up for success, because, you know, the kid is comfortable with, okay, I know how this is going to go. I have a pretty good idea. But also, I'm sure she was comforted in the fact that she didn't have to be anxious that when you get there, oh man, I might have to ride a roller coaster that I'm not comfortable with. You know, you've had that expectation, and you also told, you know, there are going to be some clear expectations, but you explain the why. You know, we're going to go to bed a little bit early, maybe perceived by you, but it's because we're going to have a fun day early the next morning. I think this is just such great advice for somebody that's going to do this here in the future.
Yeah, it really made for a great trip. And like I said, I would text with my sister, her mother, and she was, you know, my niece was so proud when she did the things that she, like she'd never been on an upside down ride. And so she did Rock and Roller Coaster, and that was her first inversion. And she was so proud. I mean, I was proud of her. And you know, I'm kind of a sap, I cry, but being next to her and, you know, being the one in the picture when she went on her first upside down, like, yes. I'm going to treasure that for the rest of my life.
Yes, you've got that. Super aunt. There you go. That's awesome.
Super aunt.
All right. So two more things. Okay. First of all, share maybe one more story. Like, you know, this trip is now a year in the books, but there's always kind of one fun story. It might not be like the highlight of the trip, but it's just something you're going to remember this trip for that maybe was strange or crazy. Anything you want to share that kind of sticks out a year later from this trip?
That is a fun question. I'm trying to think. We had so many things. I don't know. We had a lot of fun. What we did that was different from this trip that we've told people is, in the worst part of the day, that middle of the day, you know, let's say noon to three, when it's hot and everyone is in the park, like it seems like the whole world is in the park, we would make an effort to go to places that we usually skip. Like, we went to Rafiki's Planet Watch, had never made it out there because it didn't seem worth my time to go to a petting zoo. We had such a blast out there. And, you know, the girls are petting pigs and goats and all that stuff. And we spent a good 2 hours on Tom Sawyer's Island, which is another thing that, you know, I got stuff to do. I don't want to go to Tom Sawyer's Island. We had a blast. And my husband took like a half hour sit in one of the rocking chairs and watched, you know, Big Thunder Railroad go by. And the girls and I were running through the caves and across the bridges. And, you know, we did that to take a break from the crowds, but it didn't feel like we stopped because we weren't sitting in a restaurant. We were doing things.
Well, plus too, you're being active in those areas, both Rafiki's Planet Watch, you're experiencing things, you're interacting with animals, Tom Sawyer Island, you're running through caves, you're going through tunnels and going over bridges and up into, you know, the fort and stuff like that. And I think everybody needs that, but especially kids. And your husband, you know, I would have been doing the same thing, sitting in the rocker, but I'd have been watching my eyelids probably at that point.
I think he tried, but too many excited kids running by. That's really true. Good nap.
I'm an expert. I can fall asleep anywhere. So, all right, last question, because you have a unique perspective on things. You have a droid. I'm looking at a picture of you and your husband in a stormtrooper. So I have to ask you this as we wrap the show. I'm sure you've been keeping up with everything happening. You're going to D23, everything going on with Galaxy's Edge on both coasts. Is super Star Wars fans, what are you most excited about with these new lands? And what do you like want to run to first? What are your hopes for these lands?
Well, I think two things. I'm an attractions girl. I love theme parks, not just Disney. I love theme parks. And I'm really excited about Rise of the Resistance. I'm trying not to read too much because I really want to go in with minimal knowledge. I really love being surprised. But they keep talking a big talk on that attraction. And so I'm really looking forward to that one. And I also, with the stuff that I've been reading, that they're going to have droids roaming the land, like in an area, there's like a section for droids. And of course, I'm fascinated by that because we've done events like Legoland does an annual. I think they may not be doing it anymore, but like last year, you know, we took the droid to Legoland on Star Wars Day and people go crazy. I mean, they run up, they're seeing this real droid, you know, they're like, oh my God, R2-D2 exists. And they're hugging him. They're kind of, when I say smacking him, you know, sometimes they just want to touch it. They have to touch it. And so I'm wondering how Disney is going to handle that because we can't handle it.
Yeah. Because I mean, we see the same thing. We do the live event every year for the Indie Disney Meet out in Indianapolis, Forgive Kids the World, and they have the 501st. And they also have, you know, maybe five or six folks bring in their droids. And there's like an R2-D2, there's a red R2-D2, there's a pink R2-D2. And I mean, those things are so real looking, but they're just magnets for the, I mean, not just for the kids. I mean, like a 45-year-old kid like me, I'm like, oh my God, I got my picture with them. You know, I got to get a selfie with R2-D2. So I can imagine. Yeah, and I think that's, to me, as we kind of wrap this, I mean, I could talk Star Wars all day because I do love Star Wars, not at your level, but I do love it very, very much, is that it's that universe is so like ingrained in what we know for those people that have seen, you know, the original trilogy hundreds of times and the other movies, you know, so many other times. But I mean, I think that they're going to really have to, I think the land is going to be immersive and amazing and incredible, but I think it's what they add, like the accents, like you said, like a droid experience. It's going to be a tough balance because you got to have something that can't get broken by the guests to go crazy. But I mean, you also don't want to not have droids because I think people are going to be expecting droids.
Yeah. Yeah. If I were guessing, I think that when Star Wars Land first opens, we're going to have a lot of things that we won't have 3 or 4 years from now. And we're going to be doing those stories like when I first went to Star Wars Land, they had these droids. I mean, I feel that way on some attractions like here, not to get too off topic, but like Indiana Jones opening day, if you moved the pole, the ceiling would fall on you. You know, it had booby traps. And now none of that stuff works because people broke it.
Yeah. So we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things. So I'm thinking with Star Wars Land, you know, I'm hoping the best, but I kind of feel like they're going to try their best and some things may, you know, have to be tweaked, but that's, you know, that's life. You gotta fix what works and I mean, fix what doesn't work and just adapt and evolve.
It's very true. So, hey, we're going to have to get you back on after you guys experience Galaxy's Edge, either out on out of Disneyland or if you make it down to Walt Disney World, because you obviously have a unique perspective. I don't get to talk to too many people that have droids and stormtroopers in their wedding pictures. So, yeah, we'll have to definitely catch up because I want to get your take on this. But thank you so much for walking us through this trip this time last year. It's a great excitement, I'm sure, for folks that are heading down over spring break this year, you know, the remainder of the spring and the summer. And it just sounds like you had a wonderful time.
Yeah, we really did. And I appreciate you letting me relive it on your podcast. I'm a big fan.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that. And tell the girls we said hello.
I will. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the folks over at therunningbuddy.com. If you want somewhere to put your iPhone, even if it's a gigantic iPhone like I use the iPhone XS Max, and that is a big phone. It just sits there in my buddy pouch. It just clips right under your belt with magnets. It doesn't jiggle. It doesn't move. I run, you know, I run every day. It never goes anywhere. I've never broken a phone. Knock on wood. I'm going to do that just in case now that I think I need to. But hey, sometimes I'm an unlucky guy. Even on this last marathon weekend, I rode Rock and Roller Coaster during the marathon. And that thing didn't lose my phone. It was right there with me tracking and making my my course line look all crazy and look like I really went fast for about 2 minutes. But anyway, back on topic, check out therunningbuddy.com. It's got a great pouch if you're a runner, walker. It's a great place to put your phone. They also have Disney backpacks and purses. It's just an awesome site. Remember, use BRGuest to check out for 10% off. So check them out at therunningbuddy.com. And please support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that very much. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. We love those. Send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get those on the show right away. So for Leslie Ann, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday, but it's time to head back to work. And until then, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.